I'm not very concerned about my accent. So even though I still make some grammar mistakes, that doesn't stop me from speaking up in English or speaking up in public. It doesn't mean I'm not fearful, but I still do it.
You're listening to Stand Out, Get Noticed, the show that helps you communicate with confidence so you can stand out from the crowd and get noticed by all the right people. To subscribe to the show, go to thecmethod.com. Hi there, Rockstar, and welcome to episode 88 of Stand Out, Get Noticed. My name is Christina Canters, communication skills speaker, coach, and the host of this show. Can you believe that we're only 12 episodes away from episode 100? Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what I'll do for episode 100, but if you have any ideas, I'd love to hear them. You've only got 12 weeks to think of them. Reach out at cc@thecmethod.com and let me know. Okay, my guest this week is life and career coach and my friend Sylvie Hu. Sylvie and I met at a personal development training weekend about a year ago, and I was struck by her quiet confidence and this unexplainable cool factor. And the special thing about Sylvie is she focuses on helping and empowering Asian men and women to live more courageous, liberated, and loving lives. And that's why I wanted to get her on the show. We talk about the impact that traditional Asian culture has on people's confidence and willingness to speak up, express themselves fully, and get the opportunities they deserve. And if you are from an Asian background, you probably relate to some of this. Sylvie shares how she went against cultural norms and built up her own confidence, and how you can do it too. We also talk about accent and language and what you can do to make yourself more easily understood. And even if you're not Asian, you'll learn about what you can do to communicate more effectively with and help those who do have a strong accent. So it's really interesting stuff, and stuff that you may not hear discussed just in general. So definitely worth listening to and hearing the perspective of Sylvie, of someone who has come from another country, from China, and has learnt English as a second language, and hearing her experiences and her challenges and how she overcame them. So if you're not Asian, you will still get a lot out of this episode. But if you are from an Asian background, then definitely tune in, because Sylvie shares a lot of stuff that you will benefit from. Now, if you want to learn more about Sylvie, I will put links to how you can connect with her at thecmethod.com/Sylvie. That's spelled S-Y-L-V-I-E. thecmethod.com/Sylvie. Now, before we get to that, a really quick shout out to listener Xuan Wei, who emailed me to say, I would like to thank you for the amazing content, especially on your podcast. Binged and stopped at episode 76 to save some for later. That's a lot of episodes listened. I'm very impressed. Xuan Wei goes on to write, I think the most valuable lesson I've learnt from the email lessons and your podcast is to take action. Looking forward to more great content. Thank you, Xuan Wei, for your lovely email. Also know that the Confidence Blueprint book and audio series will be out next week. So if you are looking for more content, you can grab a hold of that next week. And I'm, P.S., really excited about that. So December 14, that's when it will be launching. Oh, and tune in next week to find out where you can grab a copy of that. I'll be sharing with you a link to where you can find it. And a second announcement, I had great feedback from last week's episode with my partner Aaron. We talked all about language and how to use it in a sales context to connect better with others and get more of what you want. Now, make sure you check that out if you haven't heard it. You can find it at thecmethod.com/language. And also, for those of you who did download it, or you tried to listen and it cut off at 10 and a half minutes, there was an error with the file upload. So I re-uploaded it that same day, but just letting you know, if your phone automatically downloaded it, you may need to delete it and re-download that file. So the feed has been updated with the correct upload of the episode. But just if you're thinking, oh, I downloaded it and it's only 10 minutes, something went wrong, the new file is up there. So make sure you go back and download that file. And I'm really sorry for any confusion that caused. I don't know how it happened. It's never happened before. Hopefully it won't happen again. Alrighty, moving on to meeting this week's very special guest. Get ready to say hello to Sylvie Hu.
So I lived in Australia for almost 12 years. Yeah, I was in IT for 9 years, and I moved to coaching in 2015. So, and now I work in education as well as in coaching. What I do in coaching in several areas that including helping Asian, especially elite Asian professionals who has identity of being nice and have, you know, challenges speaking up for themselves and wanting salary increase. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, and also help singles who don't want to settle for less and wanting to get married. My passion also including helping Asian students. You know, they are doing academically very well but struggling for the job. So yeah, that's my passion as well. And lastly, I want to help Asian couples to reconnect love and intimacies between them.
Mm.
So, yes, so I have a lot of passions.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So Sylvie, I wanted to get you on the show because I speak to a lot of Asian women specifically who feel like because English is their second language, so they lack a bit of confidence with speaking English and therefore speaking up for themselves and just being confident with speaking to others and asking for things and putting themselves out there. I just want to hear your thoughts on where does that come from, that consciousness about the accent?
I can totally relate to that. I grew up in that culture. It's very understanding, actually. So in Asian cultures, one thing I would like to point out, the typical Asian cultures is that we grew up in the criticism cultures. So then we have been grew up with the identity of under the shadow of another kids. In other words, we always has a lot of Asians have the feelings of not good enough. In the case of, in the context of speaking English, so in the past when we speak, when I was back in China's, when we spoke English, we could get laughed at in public for our accent. So that stopped us from speaking English more freely and openly.
Wait, can I just pause you there? So you're saying that when you spoke English in China, your friends would laugh at you?
Our peers. Actually, the irony thing is not where what one laughed actually by the foreign teachers, mostly it actually is were judged, or we were, and still some still are judged and laughed at by the peers.
Mm. So how did this affect, yeah, how did this affect you personally with your confidence?
Actually moving forward, when I actually worked in Australia for almost 10 years, even at a workplace, there are several occasions. So when I spoke up, I got feedback from managers. I can't hear you very clearly. You don't speak very clearly. that feedback actually make me feel stop actually at some levels stop me from speaking up to some content. But the turning point for me is to do with this the speaking with confidence trainings or NLP trainings. So I met with my NLP trainer, Rick Schnabel. He actually, instead of giving me feedback that I can't hear you clearly, he actually encouraged me, Suvi. I remember clearly he said to me, Suvi, just open up and speak loudly and slowly, then I can hear you clearly. So he gave me a solution instead of telling me I have a problem in speaking English. Yes, yeah. So I guess that's to do with how your recipients actually receive and how they actually encourage you to speak up in English. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So for anyone listening who might be giving feedback to someone for whom English is a second language, that's a really good point that you make there. And, you know, to give positive encouragement, saying, hey, can you speak a little bit more loudly and a little bit more clearly, instead of I can't understand you or I can't hear you.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I found quite helpful in helping me speak up, is to tell me a solution, tell me what should I do, instead of telling me this is the problem. So by doing so, by providing a solution or being inspirational, I actually myself gain more confidence in speaking up. Yeah.
I've spoken to a number of Asian women who they tell me that they think that their accent is affecting the way they speak. But personally, I think that they sound fine. Like, I can actually understand them totally fine, right? But they still think that it's not okay. How can someone who has this thought overcome this thought that's holding them back?
Christina, for this, I can relate to this as well. This negative thought is most likely to do with the negative experience they had in the past. So when they spoke in English, then they have been criticized or been given, you know, funny looks or been judged. So that created a negative experience for them. So to overcome this, for me personally, I am not very concerned about my accent. So even though I still make some grammar mistakes, that doesn't stop me from speaking up in English or speaking up in public. It doesn't mean I am not fearful, but I still do it. I think in short, be fearful, but just stress yourself a bit. Be okay with being laughed at, and still talk, still speaking up. Actually, put yourself in that uncomfortable positions. I remember last time when I did my public speaking as part of the NLP public training and graduations, I was quite scared. But I still managed to pull myself together and deliver the speech. And that's turned out to be okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you realize that you can do these things.
Yes. Yes. That was very fulfilling for me.
My mum told me a story about how when she first came to Australia from Malaysia, she was about 20 years old, and she wasn't confident with her English. But then she took it upon herself to study even harder. And she thought, you know what? I'm behind right now, but I'm going to work so hard that I'm just going to improve myself as much as I can. So she studied as hard as she could. She worked harder than anyone else. And she ended up graduating top of her class. And she had people coming to her asking for help when she had started off with you know, the sort of the lowest level of English, I suppose,
out of
the, you know, Australian students. So you can actually use it as fuel to go, you know what, I'm going to show you and just make it work to your advantage.
Yes, yes, exactly. While I was in Australia, actually I had a lot of friends who are native English speakers. So I socialized with them a lot. So I guess that helped with improving my English. Yeah.
Did you ask them for feedback?
I did got a lot of feedback about my English accent. I got feedback from one of my native English speakers, says I sound very much like Australian.
Is there anything noticeable about the way that you speak English that you've actually changed somewhat, maybe have the way you pronounce certain words, to help you be better understood?
One strategy is that I have been consciously using is to speak slowly. To speak slowly, and also to apart from that, and similar to your mother, and also I put some time aside actually to look into the strategy and the techniques how to improve oral English, how to improve my speaking in English. Actually, I have a question for you. How did you learn your English in Malaysia, or how do you sound very much like a native speaker?
Even your
accent. Yeah.
Oh, I was born in Australia.
Oh, I see. Yep.
I wish I spoke Cantonese or Mandarin, but I don't. Mm. So, so I'm very much a native speaker. But even going to the US, I found that I have to be aware of how I'm pronouncing words so that I can be understood, you know, by Americans. And I found that I would pronounce my R's a little bit more. I would speak a little bit more clearly, because Australians tend to have this habit of, you know, we tend to speak really, like, we sort of join all our words together and we don't really pronounce all of our words and all our letters and our R's and all of that. And we can speak quite fast. So as a result of this podcast as well, when I'm editing it and I'm listening back to my voice, I'm thinking, oh, do I really sound like that? And then I make adjustments accordingly.
Actually, on that note, even next time when an Asian were mocked or even criticized for their accent, they can be, you know, say, this is, I'm Asian, I have an exotic Asian accent, similar to what you just mentioned, because Australian has very interesting accent as well. It's all rooted in their culture.
So are you saying that instead of thinking, oh, I have this bad accent that no one can understand me, you turn it around and make it a positive?
Make it funny, I guess. Make it more fun for yourself, to make yourself even feel better. So, because Asian, we have this is Asian. Even for Indian accent as well, they don't mind their accent. I think that's quite interesting accent as well. So when Asians put in the situation where they be probably laughed at by the accent, they can say to myself, "I'm Asian. I have a very exotic Asian accent." I guess that.
Because let's face it, your accent's not going away. Right.
No.
So there's no point being ashamed of it or disliking it. You may as well make the most of it.
Yes, make it your brand, your identity.
If you're speaking to a Western audience, do you acknowledge your accent or your ethnicity or your culture when you're speaking and sort of make jokes to, not to laugh at yourself, but make jokes to build rapport with your audience?
To answer your question, let me use that public speaking experience I had the last time. So I was very nervous, actually, but I wasn't showing it last time. So I used, I just joke about myself. as my opening line to say that this is, you know, this is the first time I'm doing public speaking. I'm very nervous. I may sound so basically in short, I made a fun of myself a little bit just to make myself relax. I found that helpful for me. Yeah. So that, I guess, to some extent, creates some rapport with the Western audience to help them to understand the position I was in. Yeah.
You know what else that does? It also puts their mind at ease with knowing where you're from. Because, and I learned this from Judy Carter, who's a fantastic speaker and a former stand-up comedian, very successful stand-up comedian. And she says that you need to acknowledge you. She calls it your defect, which is kind of funny. She says, acknowledge your defect. And by defect, she means something that's a bit different about you that other people might be thinking, where is she from? What is that accent? You know, where, you know, if there's something a bit unusual about you, you need to actually acknowledge that at the start of your speech so that people can be put at ease and go, oh, okay, so she's from, okay, she's Chinese, or okay, she's Australian, you know, or he's really tall or whatever. And then, and then they can move on and actually listen to all the wonderful things you have to say.
Ah, yes. Now you put it in a context. Yes. When prior to my speech, my trainer actually introduced to me, to the audience, as someone, you know, someone whose English is not their native language, but he still have confidence to speak in public. I guess that, related to what you just said. Yeah.
So if English is your second language, if you're listening, if you're listening to this, you can jump up on stage and you might start talking and you could say, so you might be wondering where my accent is from. Well, it's from, you know, blah, 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 whatever country. And then you can say something, then you can make a joke about it and say, so if I pronounce a word wrong, you know, please let me know because I'm still learning, right? And then everyone has a little bit of a laugh and then they are put at ease because now they know where you're from. And then you're put at ease because you've kind of been given permission to mess up, right? You're like, hey, I might mess up, just letting you know. And I would love your feedback if I do. So tell me about the clients that you help with, like at work and helping them to speak up. What's their biggest fear when it comes to speaking up at work and asking for a raise, for example?
Oh, in that case, I think that's very, it's always actually, I would consider as a social norm in Western cultures. For that, a lot of Asian professionals, I believe, are undervalued, are underpaid. So we grew up in a culture that we don't ask. So we don't ask for salary increase.
Why is that?
Because we believe, we've been waiting. So we've been waiting for the salary increase. Because, you know, how hardworking Asians are, so they had impressions my boss know how hardworking I am, so they I'll be rewarded for my contributions. But I learned the hard way when I was in Australia. I learned that that wasn't the case. So you have really a lot of your contributions probably has been, you know, have been witnessed but won't be rewarded unless you speak up for yourself.
So in China, people traditionally don't ask for raises. Is that correct?
I haven't worked in China for 10 years. I'm not sure whether it has been changed, but prior to 10 years ago, I think it probably still the case. They don't ask for salary increase. It's just out of the character for them.
Oh, okay. So why is it considered rude to ask for things?
Let me put it into another context. You have actually to have a lot of self-worth, self-confidence to actually to ask for salary increase in Asian cultures. And also we have been told to be modest, to be humble. So then by, you know, under influence of their cultures, we don't actually value ourselves that much. In other words, our self-worth are not very high. So it doesn't reflect reality. Yeah, yeah.
But I know it's also against traditional Asian culture to question authority and to say, no, I don't think this is right. You know, I deserve this. You're wrong. Essentially, that's what you're saying. You're saying you're wrong. And it's very against Asian culture, isn't it?
Yeah. You're spot on that. So yes, that's another key aspect of Asian cultures, which is you have to obey the authorities to be a good student, be a good kid, a good employee.
It's kind of the opposite here in Australian culture and in American culture. It's like a lot of people are like, I'm not listening to you. What do you mean? You're telling me what to do? Hell no. In a lot of cases, like, you look at our politicians and how we make fun of them and we laugh at them and, you know, all our leaders, we just take the piss out of them. And it's a completely different culture. So
yes, exactly. Yes.
So if you, let's say you're from an Asian culture and you move to Australia or you move to America or a Western culture where it's completely different, yet it's so ingrained in you that you need to respect authority and not speak up and not challenge them, what can you start to do? Because I know it's so hard to overcome this when it's so ingrained in you. What can you start to do to then overcome this?
I guess I don't have this problem. I always love to challenge authorities.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, even at the workplace, I challenge my managers as well. That put me into a very difficult position, at my last workplace. That's one of the reasons I left that workplace. But for others who have problem with challenging authorities, you can start small. So you can start by saying no to someone you're close to first. So you're most comfortable with, for example, your parents. So if you have been always adept to saying yes or not, say no to your parents, just take one small step and say no once. Just say no once. That gives you confidence to, you know, to be certain, to set a little bit boundary for yourself. Let me give you one example. If your parents, you know, always, or even when it comes to food, if your parents, you know, always want to, they always want to give you, want to you to eat healthy, and some of them probably not to your taste. That's very minor things. In the past, probably you have been always say, you know, just take on what your parents have been giving you and just say no once. That's all it takes to say no. Just stand up for yourself just once. That will put you a little bit comfortable to stand up for yourself much more comfortable positions.
That's great
then
advice.
You can then you can extend to your workplace, to your relationship, and beyond.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Sylvie, for joining me on the show. It was so great to gain your perspective. If people want to find out more about you and your coaching, where can they go?
For those people who are interested in my coachings, please go to check out on my website, www.sylviehu.com, which is www.sylviehu.com. So that's my website. Or if you use WeChat, you can add me on WeChat, which is Sylviehu.
Thanks so much, Sylvie.
Thank you, Christina. We'll speak to you next time.
Thanks to Sylvie Hu for being such
a wonderful and generous guest on the show this week. I learned a lot from her and I hope that you did too. You can find out more about her coaching at sylviehu.com. That's S-Y-L-V-I-E, who spelled H-U, sylviehu.com, or simply visit the show notes at thecmethod.com/sylvie. Alrighty, and that just about wraps up this week's episode. Remember to tune in next week. I will be sharing with you where you can pick up your copy of The Confidence Blueprint, my very first book, and it'll also be coming with an audio series as well. So if you prefer to listen rather than read, the content will be available for you in audio format too. I'm excited! And that's all from me this week. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Keep on being awesome, yeah? And I will talk to you next week. My name's Christina Canters, and this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed. Okay, I know it's been a while since I've played a song for you on the ukulele, but seeing as it is now December and we are into the silly season, I thought why not do a little Christmas song for you. Alrighty, here we go.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. I'm dreaming.